This is Jeff Davis with the Alignment Podcast, where we explore sales and marketing alignment strategy for B2B businesses. Make sure to visit jeffdavis2.com for all things alignment. Now let's talk about how to create togetherness.
In this episode, I speak with Justin Schreiber, VP of Marketing at LinkedIn. Justin has over two decades of experience in software, along with experience as both a sales and marketing leader. In our conversation, we discuss how language differences can cause conflict between sales and marketing, how Netflix is completely changing how companies are thinking about alignment, and predictions for the future of sales and marketing alignment. With that said, let's jump into the episode. Justin, thank you for joining the podcast.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Yeah, excited to connect with you. And I had the opportunity to do a little bit of research on you and came across a podcast where you talked about some of your predictions related to sales marketing alignment in 2018. So hopefully we'll get to touch on those things because I think they're really relevant and really important for our leaders out there to know. But before we start that, I want folks to know a little bit about you and your background. So I will give you the floor.
Absolutely. Well, you know, sales and marketing alignment is near and dear to my heart because I've had the opportunity to sit on both sides of the aisle. I actually started off my career in consulting, but then moved into technology. And in technology, started off building products, realized that what I'd love to do was to interface with customers, understand their issues, and help them solve problems with the products that we were building. And that was a natural entree into sales. And then in the course of working on the sales side of the house, started to think a lot about how we were positioning products, how we were taking them to market, and that ultimately led to the marketing side of the discipline. I'm often asked, well, you've had roles in both sales and marketing, which side of the house really has sway? And my answer has always been the same. It's finance. They hold the keys to the kingdom, but in all seriousness, it is exciting to see how the two groups are coming together and really starting to value and appreciate each other in ways that you haven't seen in the past.
Yeah, and I share a very similar background. I started my career in sales, transitioned to marketing. So I think that you bring a unique perspective because you do speak the language of both teams. And as I kind of share with folks, you know, sales has a language, marketing has a language. And the more that we can create understanding between the two groups and empathy between the two groups, I think that this alignment effort will be easier for a lot of people.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I, on the sales side of the house, would always talk about my the sales pipeline, and you get up there, you draw it on the board, and it's a pipeline, drawing it from left to right. And then when I moved over to marketing, I had to start to learn how to talk about a marketing funnel, which is the same picture but turned 90 degrees. And I always thought it was ironic that sales and marketing couldn't even agree on whether it was a funnel or a pipeline, and whether it was a left to right motion or a top to bottom motion. But I think that's kind of indicative of the fact that the two groups are kind of seeing the world somewhat similarly, but also a little differently. And that is the source of a lot of the challenges that exist between the organizations today.
Yeah, and I think that really is the root, because I have literally been in meetings, joint meetings between sales and marketing, and have found that they are literally talking about the exact same thing and are arguing at some point. And then I have to say, like, guys, you're actually saying the exact same thing in a different way.
Yeah.
It's totally the same. So with that said, in your mind, what do you see as the changing dynamics in the market that really, because I do feel like there's been a resurgence of this conversation around sales and marketing alignment. It's not new necessarily, but I think there are some additional pressures or some pain points that people are feeling. What are you seeing?
I would say, interestingly enough, organizations like Netflix have had a bigger impact on the way that enterprises think about sales and marketing alignment than just about any other force in the past 10 years. And the reason I say that is because more and more of these consumer experiences are defining the way that we interact with technology. And they're doing such a phenomenal job of not only making it easy to engage, but really creating a pleasurable experience that's right on the money in terms of what we care about. And you think about Netflix, and I log in on all my different devices, my kids have their accounts, and somehow it knows who's whom. And once I log in, I'm served up programs that I like to watch without really even having to answer any questions. And so now that's kind of the way I think about the technology experience. And I don't necessarily differentiate, oh, that's a consumer experience, but it's different on the B2B side. It's just what I expect to have happen. I think that companies that have historically operated in silos, where you've got the marketing organization over here and the sales organization over there, are starting to feel the fury of people that understand what a great technology experience can be like. And they're now raising their hands and saying, enough already, figure it out. And because of that heightened pressure that's being placed on organizations, they're really recognizing that they need to rethink the processes and the programs. And so I think because of that, there's some new conversations that are happening that weren't happening before.
So the pressure really then sounds like it's really from a buyer's perspective of they are raising their hands to say, this experience is not working for me. And this is maybe putting, as you very eloquently said, the pressure on these B2B companies because you cannot really attack the market in the most efficient way and provide that experience without this cohesive unit of sales and marketing coming together and really providing that.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. You also have innovators that are excelling and succeeding based wholly on the merits of that cohesive experience that they serve up. Think about Tesla, for example, completely reinvented the way that you buy cars. You walk into, an elegant, pleasing, not a showroom, but a place where you can sit down and design your car. It shows up at your doorstep when it's ready. You're getting mobile alerts all along the way. If something goes wrong, you're notified about the problem before you even know about it. And magically, a new car shows up at your door. Your car is whisked away, fixed, and brought back. Now, obviously, we don't all own Teslas, but we've heard about those stories. And we've seen that more and more the new experience involves that kind of an end-to-end scenario. And sellers and marketers are saying, hey, we need to rethink that end-to-end scenario as well and deliver a similar experience.
How has marketing's role changed when it comes to contributing to pipeline revenue?
I think the good news is that marketers are getting more power and more influence. If you were to go back 20 years, marketers were viewed as those creative types that were always coming up with crazy ideas. And, you know, we need to have them because this whole brand thing, which we're not exactly sure what it is, but we kind of got to have it. As we've shifted to technologies that enable self-serve experiences, the economics of how you run businesses has changed. As you can consummate more and more of the sales journey online and through technology, you're actually seeing expansion of margins because it's less expensive to deploy these scalable technologies than it is to employ individuals to do those jobs. Now, don't get me wrong, there's still very much a place for sales professionals, but we're getting more targeted and more sophisticated in how we deploy them. Also, as we're moving more and more to a data-driven world, the data-driven marketer has a lot of say and a lot of influence because they're seeing in macro a lot of the trends that the sales organization might not necessarily be able to identify in micro as they're interacting with individuals. So I'd say the spectrum is probably more evenly balanced between sales and marketing now, but absolutely when a marketer says something and brings in data and says, and I can get the job done in an effective way that serves a great experience, leaders in an organization pay a lot of attention to that.
And so that may elicit the response and sometimes visceral response from sales leaders, right? So they are under a lot of pressure and scrutiny in order to generate sustainable, consistent revenue. How, as a marketing leader, would you talk to a sales leader that's not convinced that aligning with marketing is going to help his or her business?
Well, I think if you've got data on your side and we now have tools that are able to more in a more sophisticated way, track the impact of marketing, you can really walk into a salesperson's office and say, here's the evidence. Salespeople at the end of the day are very focused on hitting their number. And while they may be cynical initially, if you can actually bring forward credible data that says you're actually better off working with me than without me, they're going to pay attention to that. And by the way, if they don't pay attention to that, they're probably not going to last long in this new era.
Well, and I like the way you served it up, because I think, you know, in some organizations that may not be savvy around this particular topic, it really is about working with me, not me doing things that I have data that prove and I'm going to do them anyway, right? And I think there's sometimes a miss between sales really going to, I'm sorry, marketing going to sales as a partner with obviously that data to show that, you know, if we work together, that the results at the end of the day that you're getting will be better because we're joint in our efforts versus you just solo going out and there and doing it by yourself. I think that's a conversation that needs to happen. And so when you use those words, work with me, I think that's really imperative and important.
You know, I think that there's also a qualitative side to the discussion that happens between sales and marketing. The data brings for the quantitative impact. But at the end of the day, we're all human beings. Salespeople in particular oftentimes are very much focused on relationships and perhaps some of the less data-driven aspects of the business. One thing or one area where I've seen a lot of success is when marketers are able to sit down and help salespeople do things that may not necessarily be in the wheelhouse of the salesperson. Let me give you an example. Social media has become very important in the sales motion. Being able to position yourself as a credible expert, extremely important. A lot of times salespeople, though, don't feel comfortable using the written word to promote themselves. Marketers, on the other hand, that's what they deal in. That's the currency that they use. I've seen a really interesting program set up in a number of different companies where the marketers will say, you know, sales professional, you do a phenomenal job at engaging prospects and customers, learning about their world, providing solutions. What I want you to do is have a verbal interview, record it, send it to me as the marketer. I will turn that into a long form post. And on the back end, the marketer is probably outsourcing that, and then send it back to you. And suddenly you've got something that you can post on social media that's authentic, that represents your voice, but at the same time doesn't necessarily force you to into a space you're not comfortable with, which is writing. When the salesperson sees that and sees the reaction they're getting on social media and knows that the marketer was an enabler, that's a real game changer, because the marketer now was there for them in a way that they didn't necessarily perceive before. You couple that with the data that shows that you're better off working with marketing, and that's a home run.
I really like that. And I also want to ask in that same theme, I feel that there's an opportunity as well is when, you know, we get into these complex sales with large enterprises, we realize that the number of people that are part of the decision-making team is growing. I think right now, I think it's 6.8 now. So you have a lot of different customer personas within that, and that's a very marketing term. But as a salesperson going in, I might be working with the CEO, the CIO, the CMO, a number of different people. Do you feel things like messaging and positioning statements and customer personas can be translated in the way that empowers and helps salespeople go in with a better picture of how to tee up that conversation so they're not learning from scratch every single time they do that? Is there currency? Is there value?
Yeah, so
there?
Jeff, you got me on one of my favorite topics, which is my love-hate relationship with ABM, account-based marketing. The notion of account-based marketing to me just rings hollow, because anyone that's sold knows that it's not an account-based strategy you need to build. It's a buyer circle-based strategy. Uh-huh. You know, imagine walking into GE and saying, I got this strategy for GE and I'm going to take down some deals. Nobody does that. They say, within GE, I'm in healthcare, I'm in this division, this is the buyer circle I need to target. And the great salespeople say, even within that buyer circle, I understand the roles, the functions, the dispositions of these individuals, and I'm able to tailor my approach to those individuals. So if the new atomic unit is really the buyer circle, that's a wonderful place for sales and marketing to align, because marketers are constantly trying to tune their message to the signals, the unique signals that are being sent out by different audience members. I have always been a strong proponent that when sales is in an account planning session, marketing should always have a seat at the table, because when you get into those buyer circle conversations and start to look at individuals, the marketer can come forward and say, maybe this is the way we want to approach this individual, the tone, the kind of content that we want to use. Here's what my team's working on that's relevant. Hey, avoid that. And suddenly you get into a really rich dialogue and, again, a partnership between what the salesperson is trying to do and what the marketer is trying to do.
I think that is so great because, you know, you said something that also resonated with me is having that marketing team or marketing partner within those sales planning meetings in order to sometimes just listen so that they know what to create and are producing content that is relevant to the sales teams, you know, as they're interacting with the, you know, the account or the particular customer throughout that whole customer journey so they can push the right content and provide what the salespeople need. So I couldn't agree with you more.
I mean, the unfortunate reality in so many organizations, and you know, I work in organizations like this, have in the past as well, the connective tissue between sales and marketing is typically in two areas. The first is there's a marketing automation system and there's a CRM system, and there's some kind of technological integration point that allows leads to be passed to sales. And then the second place is you have these account planning sessions, and somebody at the end of that session who's a salesperson says, hey, can you guys go tell marketing that we need some air cover on these accounts? And, you know, marketing isn't there. So they get this email that says, yeah, help us focus on, you know, Pitney and ADP. And there's no context. We need to really change the game and get sales and marketing in the boat together in the planning phase, in the execution phase, and in the evaluation phase, so that through the entire continuum, everybody is seeing the same information, the discussions are being driven by both sides of the aisle, and ultimately the experience that's being crafted is the byproduct of this very close partnership. Yeah.
So for an organization that may be struggling with consistent revenue and may have played with the idea of aligning sales and marketing, what are those indicators that you have a alignment or misalignment issue between sales and marketing? What can maybe a CMO, VP of marketing or VP of sales start to look for to identify like, hey, this is something that's affecting us?
I've got a fascinating exercise which I've run across a number of different accounts. I'll ask the sales team to provide just an Excel spreadsheet of the people that they're currently targeting or engaged with to close business. And then I'll take that Excel spreadsheet over to marketing and I'll say, can you tell me what percentage of these people on this spreadsheet are in your campaign database? You would assume that there's a pretty strong overlap. And yet, on average, what I see is there's about a 24% overlap. In other words, only 24% of the people that sales is trying to get to are also being targeted by the marketing organization. So I'd say that's issue number one. Issue number two, sit down and ask, what are the two groups incentivized on? What are the metrics? If they are fundamentally different metrics, again, you know, you've got a disconnect in incentives and in focal points.
Okay. So just to recap kind of what you said, because I think that is golden, is really ensuring that marketing and sales are targeting the right people and identifying, are we speaking to the right people? I would just add on to that. It's like, not only that, and I think you agree with this, it's not even about we're only speaking to the right or speaking to the same people. Are we saying the same message?
Yeah, I think that's a great add.
There's many times where you are talking to the same people, but completely saying something different. And the reason they're not interacting with you or they're not converting is that they're confused because they're getting different stories and messages. So they don't know what to do.
Good point.
And then the second one I think is really, really a big issue is to misalign incentives. If you have a marketing team that is incentivized for volume of leads over quality, and you have your salespeople, which are incentivized obviously on revenue, that creates
a problem. Yeah, you know, and on that second point, it's become even more acute in a world where Facebook provides such a compelling platform for the marketer. I can literally go onto Facebook, I can put in some criteria for people that I want to target, and within an hour, I can get back tens of thousands of leads. And that is so enticing for a marketer because it validates everything that we do. However, if you actually run those leads down and look at how many of those leads converted into deals, particularly in a B2B context, it's very discouraging. And so it's not surprising that on the sales side, there's frustration that they're not seeing the lead flow or the deal flow coming through from marketing. And on the marketing side, there's frustration because they're seeing these massive volumes of leads come through and don't understand why sales isn't giving them credit. If both sides, though, are aligned on bookings, for example, as a common target, it may cause the marketer to rethink the strategies and the platforms that they're leveraging in order to deliver the goods.
Okay, interesting. And how do you feel most marketing teams feel about the word ROI?
I think that more and more marketers realize that they need to prove via revenue the value that they're generating. And as tools get more sophisticated to chart the end-to-end progress of a deal, they're able to do that. I do think that there are still structural issues which make it complicated. I think that when you've got companies that are sophisticated technologically and maybe have headcount and bodies to plug the holes that technology can't plug, that's where you're seeing a true assessment of ROI. And I see a lot of workarounds in companies where you're maybe not able to create an end-to-end picture that's been fully automated. But at least philosophically, marketers know that if they're not there, they need to get there, because ultimately it's revenue that matters.
Yeah. Last question for our time today. What are some of the current frameworks that a company can use to start the process of moving toward better alignment? I think that I've had conversations with a lot of companies that are energized about this idea and want to do it, but don't just really know where to start.
I always say that the True North metric is the customer journey, and being able to map the end-to-end process and be really objective about it, where you're putting yourself in the shoes of a customer or a prospect and charting each point on the experience. And sometimes you got to enlist help, because it's hard to be objective in that, and review what are all the touch points, what's being communicated within those touch points, and who is communicating that, and how is that touch point then advancing the buyer or the prospect to the next touch point. It's not a complicated framework per se, but I think it's extremely enlightening when you start to realize and identify the breakdowns. And if both sales and marketing are engaged in that process, I think you now have a common format that you can rally behind to ultimately start to knock down the problems and create a much better experience for the customer.
Great. Well, Justin, everything you shared with me today was very insightful. I think this will hopefully inspire, you know, other CMOs and VPs of marketing, sales, to sit at the same table and look at that customer journey and figure out where they can actually start aligning on process and drive revenue.
Well, this is, as you can tell, Jeff, a topic that's near and dear to my heart. I love to share my thoughts, but also learn what other people are thinking about it as well. And I'm really excited about what the next 5 to 10 years holds and the way that we're really going to be transforming those experiences for the audiences that we're targeting.
Thank you for your time, Justin.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the episode. Don't forget to visit me at jeffdavis2.com and follow me on Twitter at jeff_davis2. Did today's conversation resonate with you? Then share with your colleagues to help the Alignment Podcast grow. Join us for the next episode, where we continue to talk about how to create togetherness.